Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Greetings, humans. You have entered the command zone, your destination for all aspects of Elder Dragon Highlander. Enjoy your stay.
Burn, baby, burn.
Wow, we did it better the first time.
That was like the fifth time we've done it. So, if it was better the first time, we should probably stop doing it.
We're getting worse. We're
just getting worse, yeah. We're just caring less as we go on. I was like, yeah, burn, baby. Burn the song down. All right. What's up, everybody? You're watching / listening to the Command Zone podcast. I'm your host, Jimmy Wong.
How's it? It's Josh Lee Kwai. Well, burn, baby, burn. We're doing the Obosh the Prey Piercer deck tech today.
Burn Obosh.
Yes. Burn, Obosh, burn. You may remember in the set review we did for Akoria, we talked about how we thought Obosh would be a good burn deck. Mm-hmm. Now, this isn't traditional burn like you would in like Modern or Legacy or something where there's a lot of sorceries just pointed at players' faces. Right. But it's the idea of, you know, most of the cards in the deck do a lot of damage to everyone, yourself included sometimes. Uh-huh. Yeah, with the goal of creating a faster game overall for everybody.
Okay, well, this is another Rakdos deck from you, Josh, so this is very exciting.
Yeah, I'm in a Rakdos state of mind these days, I guess. We'll talk a little bit about that, but before we get into it, we got to talk about our sponsors. CardKingdom.com/CommandZone. That's our affiliate link that you want to use when you're going to do the thing you're going to do anyway, which is order Magic cards. You know you want all this C20 stuff. The pre-cons are out right now from the Commander product. We've also got Akoria, Layer of Behemoths, if you want a booster box, a bundle, or if you're just going to order singles for all of your decks. All that stuff you're going to get anyway if you just use our affiliate link, again, cardkingdom.com/CommandZone. When you order that stuff, you really are supporting Game Nights, this podcast, and all of our content.
And there's nothing more exciting than brewing new decks, especially when new commanders come out. This set has a ton of really interesting stuff. And when you're doing so, you're going to want to protect those cards and keep them in pristine condition and play them on the best playmats and put them in the best deck boxes. That's right, Ultra Pro is the other sponsor of this show. And again, they have all the Ikoria theme stuff, and they always create, you know, the cards arts on the playmats, on the sleeves. So if you really want to customize your experience and just make it look really cool when you bust out that new deck for the first time, as well as make sure your cards don't get dinged up, scuffed up, because you're gonna be taking them around, use Ultra Pro products. Josh and I use it on pretty much every single thing that we own. Even if I'm putting stuff into a binder, it's always going into an Eclipse sleeve or an Ultra Pro sleeve and right in there.
Yep. And of course, there are like showcase cards and stuff. The Godzilla cards, the Ghidorah cards, the Mothra cards. Those things are going to be valuable and you want them to stay protected. Again, Ultra Pro will do the best job at protecting your game pieces. And the final way to support all of our content is directly if you go to patreon.com/CommandZone. You get all kinds of cool perks at the various reward tier levels. One of them is you get to hang out with Jimmy and myself on our Discord each and every day.
Ask us anything.
Right. Also, you if you qualify, there is free merchandise that you get a few times a year. In fact, this was a little bit delayed, took a little longer than we wanted to, but we've started to ship out all of the merchandise from last year, which was also related to our Kickstarter. So people are getting t-shirts, the cool, really cool coins that we designed. Yeah, getting a lot of pictures on Twitter and things of people receiving that stuff, which is awesome.
And of course.
Yeah, of course. We also shout out one lucky patron every single episode. And this episode is dedicated to Shannon Pilato. Shannon, you rock.
You do rock.
All right, so full disclosure, the process that we went through is we've gone through all these set reviews and everything, and Jimmy and I were like, hey, so for the next couple episodes, why don't we each take a commander or a partner pair that we like, and we'll build a deck around it. You know, Jimmy will build one, I'll build one, mm-hmm. and then we'll do a couple of deck tech episodes. And Jimmy's is going to be next week. Actually, Jimmy, you want to tease it?
Yeah, it is a budget build, one of the first ever like fully budget builds where I held myself to a really specific constraint for Paco and Haldan. So play fetch.
That's pretty exciting. We talked about that again in our set review and how you were excited about that deck.
Yeah.
That's going to be next week. So this week is the deck I brewed, which is Obosh the Prey Piercer. This is not a budget deck.
Yeah.
You tricked me. You were like, I'm doing budget. And I was like, oh, I should have thought of that, but it's too late. I've already built my deck.
It's also very hard. So, yeah. You know, maybe...
maybe we leave that to the professionals like Mitch.
Yeah. I mean, big props to Mitch for being able to put decks under even a lower amount than I was able to get mine under. So it is pretty impressive to see.
Yeah, but I'm excited to see your budget build. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's pretty cool. So full disclosure here, when we went away, Jimmy was like, I'm going to build Paco and Haldan. And I was like, I'm going to build Tyam.
Oh, nice.
And then a couple days later, I messaged you and I was like, I'm switching. I'm going to switch to Obosh. And the reason for this might surprise some people, but as I was building the Tyam deck, and Tyam, just for those people that may not have memorized what everything does yet, Tyam is that card where... you pay 3 mana, you take 3 counters off creatures you control, and then you Sun Titan something, you get something from your graveyard of 3 CMC or less back into
play. On the battlefield, yeah.
Yeah, and as I was building that deck, it's going to undoubtedly be very strong, but it's going to be one of those decks that's just very... spin its own wheels, dirtily, for lack of a better word, and... that's a play style that I like, obviously.
You do. You love your value. And yeah. Tyam is just like, let's fetch stuff out of the graveyard. Let's sacrifice things. Let's get the little engine going and see just how much craziness we can do in one turn.
Right. And I was building that deck and putting it all together, but it was very much like, yeah, I'm going to just cycle the same thing in and out of my graveyard every time. And every time it's going to create the mana and the counters to do it again. And we're going to get into this loop and I'm going to Blood Artist people to death or whatever it was. And my eyes just kind of rolled back in my head. And I was just like... bored by the idea of it, maybe because I do have a lot of value decks.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I want to talk to you about this a little bit because we were having this discussion in the office the other day, which is I feel like the Commander format has gotten a little bit dirtily in the last couple of years. You know, a bunch of Commanders have come out, Korvald, Muldrosa, Tulane, Yarok. There's a ton that really incentivize you to just spin your own wheels and... you know, a lot of that stuff doesn't seem to be advancing towards a win. It's not like somebody's taking damage out the whole time, or it's going to spin your wheels until you combo out. But the outcome is mostly like the other 3 players just kind of watch somebody take a 20-minute turn.
Yeah, when the cards are designed in a way that's like, hey, here's just all the value tacked onto this, find a way to abuse that value instead of here's the direction you want to go, how can you abuse that direction? You're going to get that, right?
Yeah, you're right. So many commanders now basically say, like, draw a card on them or draw a card and create mana on them.
Yeah.
Which is just like, when you have that combination, it's going to just be a lot of, like, do this, create the mana to do the next thing, which draws me the card, which I'm going to then play, which will then create mana and draw me a card to do the next thing. And you're just, like, watching a person... play a bunch of stuff because it was all designed to just keep going.
Kind of reminds me of the Prophet of Kruphix days where it's just like, and now it's also your turn again after my turn, and it's your turn again after the next person's turn. But
even worse because it's like over and over. It's like still your turn, and then it's still your turn, and then oh crap, they hit a card that untaps everything, and now yeah. They're going to start it over and keep going.
Did they just play Time Warp? I guess they did.
Yeah.
Here we go again.
Yeah, so, and I think this is not like a huge thing where like, you know, the formats might be changed by like 10% over the last couple of years, but it just feels like we're moving... more towards that direction, more towards these really long turns. And I think I'm naturally, like, again, I have a lot of value decks, but I'm naturally, I like Grevin I built recently, Feather,
right.
Now this Obosh, which I'm drawn towards. I think...
I mean, Vile Smasher even.
A little bit, yeah, which is just like, I think I'm just drawn towards this, like, hey, I would rather build decks that I may or may not win. Obviously, I want to build decks that still can win, but one of the goals of the deck is actually to create games where... we're moving towards the end of the game constantly, doing damage to everybody, you know, where it's not a just complete Dirtlefest of like do a bunch of stuff, but nothing really happened.
Well, especially if it's four players all dirtling at the same time. I think it's a great balance to have a couple of dirtly decks, a focus deck, an aggro one, a Voltron one, right? Like you can mix it up a bit. And we've had this experience with the Kyle Hills and the Craig Blanchetts of the world where it's like, you got to make sure you're on your feet and playing and not just waiting till turn five to do anything. Otherwise, you might find yourself knocked out of the game.
Yeah, you have to have. Yeah, Kyle really made us have to have interaction in our deck. You can't just let decks do their thing and say, I'm going to do my thing, and whoever gets there first, because Kyle will always get there first. Craig...
Because science.
Yeah, Craig changed the meta a lot, or just set our meta, I guess, since he was there from the beginning of, like, you can't do nothing for the first few turns because you'll just die to infect. You have to have blockers, mm-hmm. be able to remove things. Yeah, and I think that... Anyway, that's why I was kind of drawn towards Obosh. And so this deck is really created... in an effort to make sure that the games are fast. And you may or may not win, but when at the point that you die, there will have been a lot of damage done to all the players. And hopefully, even if you're dead, you won't have to sit out for long because everybody will be at a low life toll at that point.
Yeah, imagine if you were the first player eliminated by the Dirtly player, and then you have to wait for five more Dirtly player turns because they can't actually finish out the game.
Right.
It's in the same way that you're like, you know, you have a couple of more competitive decks in your stable. You have a really casual one. Why not have fast ones as well as your value-based engines?
Yeah, and not just fast, like my deck's going to do its thing fast, but it's going to incentivize and create a fast right. game for the whole table. All right, so maybe we should start out here, get into the deck tech portion. I guess we should read Obosh. Do you want to
yes,
read it?
Yes, we should. So Obosh is one of the commanders that can also be a companion, which is an extra card that starts outside your deck. This is not a deck with Obosh as companion. Josh built this as the commander. So
good point, good point.
Obosh the Prey Piercer is three in Rakdos, so three black-black, three black-red, or three red-red for a 3/5 legendary Hellion Horror. Well, ignore the companion text. It says, if a source you control with an odd converted mana cost would deal damage to a permanent or player, it deals double that damage to that permanent or player instead. So one of my personal favorite effects in Magic, because you get cards like Furnace of Wrath that do similar things, Dictate of the Twin Gods, and you'll find that once these kinds of cards are out and damage just starts to get dealt, the life totals drain.
Yeah, life totals can go down super, super quickly, And this deck, you know, it's all written on the card. You're going to want to play mostly odd CMC things that deal damage, right? Because that's going to be doubled. Mm-hmm. And this is a thing we've wanted from Red for a long time and we thought would help it scale into Commander, was this idea that, like, all the cards say deal four damage doesn't scale well into...
Four-player games.
Right. But now all of a sudden they deal the double the damage. Maybe that does scale correctly. Like, a Lightning Bolt, one mana for six damage,
yeah.
That feels like it scales a lot better into Commander than one mana for three damage. And I like Obosh as the commander because you can still have even CMC things in your deck this way.
Right, right.
And so you can still have the mana rocks and things, and they're not dealing damage anyway, so they weren't going... But it doesn't preclude you from having them all together because you need that stuff for a good, strong deck, right?
Yeah.
You can't just not play two drops. So... okay.
I mean, you can always make that choice.
Right, right.
We don't recommend it though.
Yeah. I think if you want the deck to still be able to hang, like we have a powerful play group and it's all well and good to say, I'm going to build a deck that's going to create for fast games, but it has to be at a certain power level in our group. Otherwise it will just lose instantly every game and that won't be any fun either. It has to have a chance to win, which I think this deck will have a lot of punching power. It might catch some people by surprise. Okay. Let's talk about, the deck itself. The first category, I called it Hit 'Em All. Which is, you want cards that are really dealing damage to all your opponents at once.
Yep.
And you want them to be odd CMC for the most part, because then it's going to deal double the damage. So the first one is Tunneling Geopede. It's two and a red for a 3/2 insect, but it has landfall. Whenever a land enters the battlefield under your control, Tunneling Geopede deals one damage to each opponent.
Hey, okay. So that's going to be two damage every single time, because Tunneling Geopede is a three CMC spell.
So imagine you play a land, it deals six damage to the table.
That's pretty good value for a land. If they ever printed that on the land, it would not make it into legal formats, right?
Like, right.
That's a lot.
So that's just a good... And this deck really just wants to slowly chunk down everybody's life total and then do one big thing to kind of get the last blow in there.
Yeah, and I would say it's also very important in Rakdos to always hit your land drops. So even having a card like Tunneling Geode is like, hey, make sure you hit your land drops because you need to, especially if you're trying to run burn. Okay, next up is Scab Clan Berserker. Man, these cards, by the way, you just don't see them on deck text.
Yeah.
Especially that last one. One red-red for a 2/2 with haste and Renown 1. So whenever this creature deals combat damage to a player, if it isn't Renowned, you put up 1/1 counter on it and becomes Renowned. And it says, whenever an opponent casts a non-creature spell, if Scab Clan Berserker is renowned, Scab Clan Berserker deals 2 damage to that player. Whoa, this is like, it reminds me of Combal, the right? You're just like, I can't do anything because I'm just going to die.
And it's 4 damage for a non-creature spell if it's renowned, and it has haste. So it's not as difficult as it might seem, right? Because all you need is an open player when you play this.
On turn 2 or 3, even, depending on, you know.
Yeah, probably turn 3. But that's fine, right? Because Obosh won't be out yet, but you get it renowned, and then you play Obosh the next turn. And think of, like, Rurik Thar.
Oh!
Rurik Thar is 6 damage.
Yeah,
this
that's
would
true.
Be 4 damage and only 3 mana. Like, it's close to what Rurik Thar does, but it's doing it for a lot cheaper costs and a lot earlier. And think of how much of a pain in the butt Rurik Thar is out. We both know, right, from that fan episode of Game Nights.
I sadly know, yes.
Yeah, you were in a position in that game where you're like, I can't play most of the cards in my hand because I'll die.
Yeah, and I resolved potentially the most powerful spell
in all of Magic.
In all of Magic, yeah. And I still couldn't, you know, obviously finish the game out at that point because of that one card.
Yeah, so this is a very powerful card.
Also, I would say, usually you use non-creature spells to remove this kind of card, so it's you're still getting some value on the other end, right?
Yeah, if they go swords, they still take 4.
Yeah.
So, pretty great. And you don't want to swords the Scab Clan Berserker. You want to swords Obosh or something.
Or Avacyn. Like, you know, you want to get rid of the actual problematic thing, not the thing that's going to be the smaller but actually bigger threat long term.
The next one is a tapper, but it's kind of like a Tim, but not the exact same. It's called Lightning Rig Crew. It's 2 in a red for a Goblin Pirate. It's an 0/5, which I think is actually good stats in a deck like this.
Good blocker.
Yeah, exactly. And you can tap it to deal 1 damage to each opponent, which is 2 damage to each opponent with Obosh out. And it says whenever you cast a pirate spell, you can untap it. There's not very many pirates in the deck, but there are a couple.
Yeah.
But as an 0/5 that sits there, incentivizes people to attack not you, which means they're dealing damage to each other. And then on the end step, you go boom, hit everybody for 2.
That's 6 damage. And then you can untap, and if you have to do it right again, that's like 12 damage in one and between one end step and one upkeep.
2, then 4, and then maybe you play a pirate. Yeah, 6. Like, it's... It can start to add up if you have one of the Tunneling Geode out and all of a sudden, like, that can be a lot of damage pretty quickly.
Yeah.
I like it a lot. And I think this Lightning Rig Crew kind of led me to a couple of other cards, which can kind of start the damage dealing early. And because what you want to do is, like, start dealing damage on turn 2 if you can, because they're little chunks and it won't seem like a lot. But once people are at 20... All of a sudden, these 2 and 3 damage things just start to, like, really hurt.
There's also another side of it where after people are really low, they're obviously going to want to swing out at you. But if they do that, then they're leaving themselves open as well. And then you're still going to get in damage no matter what because a lot of these are pinger-type cards.
Speaking of pinger-type cards, there are a few of them that cost only 1 mana. 1's an odd number also. You want to read these next 2 are basically the same.
Spear Spewer and Blister Split Gremlin. Man, you're really going to the Goblin Gremlin world here. Red's a lot of fun, guys. 0/2 Defender, Spear deals 1 damage to each player if you tap it. The key word here is each.
Yep.
And then Blister Split Gremlin is also a 1 CMC card, and you tap 1 and tap the Blister Split Gremlin to deal 1 damage to each opponent. And then whenever you cast a non-creature spell, untap Blister Split Gremlin. So that could be going multiple times.
Yeah, so 1 mana tap it to deal 1 to each opponent, or Spear Spewer.
Does it to each player.
Is each player, so it hits yourself. But that's 2 damage.
Mm-hmm.
One of them doesn't cost mana. One of them untaps when you play non-creature spells, but this is a way for the damage to start to add up, and you can really get into, with Blister Split Gremlin.
Blister Spit, oh, whoa.
Spit, oh, it's, jeez. Oh, it's, spit oh, is like spit. Acid.
Oh, it's blisters.
It causes blisters. That's like 1 damage. Oh, that's mildly annoying.
It's, all right, I'm fine.
But you can easily, I think, get into a situation where you're going to like cast 2 non-creature spells that will also deal damage to opponent, tap Blister Spit, 2 or 3 times and all of a sudden kill, you know, that could be 12, 13 damage to the table at that point.
Yeah, that's actually really important. And again, we've said this in the past, but when the card says each opponent on it instead of a opponent, you should pay more attention to it, especially in decks like this, because it's going to affect a lot more people and do way more damage.
And the fact that these are 1 mana cards that tap and deal 2 damage to each opponent, again, that's 6 damage to the table, just so efficient with its damage that I think it starts to actually work the way red's supposed to work, kind of, you know?
Yeah, well, I mean, if you have the Lightning Rig Crew and the Spear route, each rotation, 6 damage, and again, like, you can do it to the point where it's, you're in set before my turn, I deal that much damage, I untap, I can just do it again. So it leaves very little time for people to, like, oh, I'm going to gain some life before you can do it again. It's like, no, these are activated abilities. You can kill people sometimes in response to them trying to save themselves.
Another one that's similar but not the exact same is Ketterek Parasite. It's 1 black again, odd CMC, for a 1-1 horror, but it says whenever an opponent draws a card, if you control a red permanent, you may have Cataract Parasite deal 1 damage to that player.
Wait, that's sweet.
Yeah, so it's 2 damage per card they draw.
See a value engine.
Yep, and listen, people draw a lot of cards in Commander.
Yeah.
So often this is going to deal a significant amount of damage because they're going to draw 2-3 Heuristic Study. What do you do?
Yeah, this could sneakily be one of the better cards in the deck just by looking at it.
And it's 1 mana.
Yeah.
And again, something that I had to double check as I was building this deck, but it is true. Obosh doesn't care about the color of the card that's dealing the damage, only the CMC. So even if it's a black card or a colorless card, it's still going to deal double that damage, which is great.
That's cool.
All right, the next category I'm calling Watch the World Burn.
You're finally on my page. Yeah. And that's what I'm talking about.
So these are the cards that are going to deal damage to everything, including yourself. And I think what you want is just get everybody low, and then you'll use those cards that only hit opponents to kind of finish everybody off.
Yeah, that's
but
smart.
At first, like, you're going down with everybody else, and then all of a sudden, near the end, you go, okay, now I have a card that only hits opponents, and I'm at 6, but everybody's dead.
Yep, so this is kind of a landfall-esque one. It's Zozu the Punisher, 1 red-red for a 2-2 Legendary Goblin Warrior, and it's whenever a land enters the battlefield, Zozu deals 2 damage to that land's controller. So Chulainn really doesn't like this. Uro does not like this at all.
All the green decks, you're punishing them, right? They rampant growth, they cultivate, they explosive vegetation. This is 4 damage per land with Obosh out. So you can't even explosive vegetation and rampant growth very much, right? Because that's like 12 damage right there, plus your 1 land drop per turn.
And this comes out early, turn 3, right?
So it comes out before Obosh, then Obosh is out. Remember, it will hit yourself, but you're not a deck that's going to be putting extra lands into play. So this is probably going to hurt you less. And either way, even if it's the same as everybody else, that's still fine with you.
Yeah. Yeah. I like Zozu.
Yeah, the next one is a really interesting one. Again, this is just going to speed up the game. It's Spell Shock. It's 2 and a red for an enchantment. Whenever a player casts a spell...
It's everything in the game except for lands.
Yeah, Spell Shock deals 2 damage to that player. Again, 4 damage with Obosh out. Whenever they cast a spell, yourself included, though.
Yeah. Well, at a certain point, you have your tappers. You don't need to cast anymore. You can just sort of wait for, again, everyone's life total. It's sort of a game where you're watching everyone try to dip below yours, and then you know you can start going ham because you're going to go reduce. Your life total is going to be reduced at the same rate.
And decks that are doing broken things, like casting things over and over, you know, storm sort of
this
stuff.
This is just the anti-value.
Yeah, it's just like, hey, listen, you want to do all that stuff, but you might be dead by the time that's over, or you might be at 8, in which case, you know, we'll have some answers at that point.
Yeah, I like old cards that don't see much play because they're also going to be easier to find for sure, and they're not super high in demand. And in a lot of ways, I guess Red has kind of built its own meta in the past 20 years to beat these kinds of decks just through these types of cards. Sulfuric Vortex, another classic enchantment for 1 red-red. At the beginning of each player's upkeep, Sulfuric Vortex deals 2 damage to that player. And here's the big one. If a player gains life, they gain no life instead. So hosing all of those, it's the Erebos type effect, getting rid of life gain. That's the one thing that I think Obosh is really afraid of.
Yeah.
A massive life gain.
Yeah, a big chunk of life gain will really like put people out of reach, especially when you're hitting yourself as well. And again, Sulfuric Vortex, it's going to deal 4 damage per upkeep, which is a significant amount. Mm-hmm. That's a tenth of their life total. It won't take very long for that to add up. So I really like this card. All right, here's a really cool one. And one of your game enders... Again, it will hit yourself, but all you have to do is be above other players or, well, let me read the card. It's Acidic Soil, 2 and a red for a sorcery. Acidic Soil deals 1 damage to each player for each land he or she controls.
This is the anti-Josh card right here. Yeah. This just blows up your Uro deck.
and a lot of decks are just concentrating on getting a lot of lands into play. Mm-hmm. Like you said, Chulainn, Uro, a ton of them are going to have 12 lands when you've got 8. And this is a way to be like, how many lands does everybody have? Remember, this is doubled with Obosh out. So it could very easily be
24 damage for
24 damage, but I take 16. We're at the same life total. I live through it. You don't.
Jeez.
Yeah, that kind of thing. So this is one of the best cards in the deck and one of your finishers. It's only 3 mana. So you can potentially later in the game cast Obosh and Acidic Soil in the same turn as like a finisher type move.
Or like Pass in Flames, get it back, right? Red's got ways to do it. Earthquake, another one of my favorites, is X in a red, so the CMC question here is a little different. It's a sorcery, it deals X damage to each creature without flying and each player. That's the big one.
And now remember, you can set on X spells, their CMC is what you pay for X, their CMC on the stack. So what I like about Earthquake is, for one, you can always make it odd just by making X an even number.
Adding 1 or less mana, or more mana.
Right. You want 2, 4, 6, 8 because the one red will count towards the CMC, yep. right? Also, if you do X is equal 4, that's, oh no, this is not true because Obosh will double the damages Obosh is out. So that'll be 8.
Right.
But think if you do X is equal to like 7, 8, that'd be 16 damage to everybody for 9 mana. That's like, how many people have lost to Exsanguinate in a game? Now, obviously, the life gain matters in that scenario, but it's the type of thing where if you're ahead, mm-hmm. you know, you've got these other things that have hit your opponents and you're at 22 and everybody else is below 22, boom, Earthquake, good way to just take the game outright.
Earthquake's also just a good board wipe. Let's say you don't want to do the double damage from Obosh, you get the choice of casting it for even CMC and you still might kill everything you need to without, you know, like, let's, if you're at like 8, you're like, oh, shit, I'll cast this for 5, so it does 5 damage to everyone, not, you know, 4 and having it do 8 damage to everyone and killing you.
It's a really good point, right? And we know how Commander games go. Obosh is not always going to be on the battlefield. It will get removed, it'll get countered, there'll be board wipes, whatever. And so Earthquake being a card that saves you in other situations where it's like, yeah, I'm not trying to kill everybody with it, I'm just trying to board wipe with it.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Here's a Jimmy favorite.
It's my favorite. Rampaging Ferrostun. Take damage. 2 and a red for a 3/3 with Menace. Again, very important text on this dinosaur. Players can't gain life. Whenever another creature enters the battlefield, Rampaging Ferrostun deals 1 damage to that creature's controller, or 2 damage. Token decks.
Take 2 damage.
Take 2 damage. That would, that's bad.
Brutal. And again, it's going to add up over time. It hits both players, but you don't mind as much. Also, there's not a really creature-heavy deck. It's not like it's running 30 creatures. So the 2-lane decks, again, Rampaging Ferrostun, Yarik.
Any token deck.
Yeah. They're just like, because 2 damage per creature, plus every time I play a land, I'm getting to take damage every upkeep, and all of a sudden, I'm at 12. I can't do anything, because if I play a land, I die. If I play a creature, I die. If I cast a non-creature spell, I die. You're trying to get them in the situations where they're in real trouble.
Like shackling them to not be able to do anything. Well, you're almost playing a stacks deck.
I mean, it is, but it's not as annoying as stacks, because you can do the stuff. You're just trying to weigh your resources, right? Like, it's not like Winter Orb, which is like straight up can't use your mana. This is like, yeah, you can, but you got to be willing to pay the life for it.
Yep.
This next one is, again, we talked about in the set review, one of the more powerful cards in the deck. You just have to be a little careful when you use it. It's Heartless Hidetsugu, 3 red-red for a 4/3 Ogre Shaman, but you tap it, and it deals damage to each player equal to half that player's life total, rounded down. So this insta-kills anybody who's at an even life total.
With Obosh out, yeah.
Yeah, with Obosh out, right? Because it deals double the damage. So if you're 22, deal 11, double that, it's 22, kills you.
Just immediately die.
Yeah, but if you're at an odd life total, then all of a sudden you'll be at 1 at the end of it.
Yep, because it rounds down.
So you want to do this when you're at an odd life total. But you can control that a little bit better because you can be like, oh, I'm going to play this spell that deals, like Earthquake. Oh, I'm going to Earthquake for 1.
1, yeah.
To get myself to the right thing, and then boom, you can do some stuff. So Heartless Hidetsugu, it's just very powerful. And, all, you know, listen, this is not something that you're going to do every game or that you should do every game. But some games you might be like, I can't win this game. I'll take a draw. Boom. Heartless Hidetsugu.
Or at least I'll take 3 people out with me or 2 people out with me and I might die myself. But yeah.
But that'll be a fast game.
Yeah. The Heartless Hidetsugu, every time it lands, it's one of those must remove cards. I play it in my Neheb deck and it is very powerful. So don't get us wrong.
You know nobody's casting that if they don't have some kind of plan for it to not kill them, right?
Yeah,
like nobody just puts it out there and doesn't have Wound Reflection or something in their hand to play next turn.
Yep.
All right. We are going to talk about, in the next section, the coolest and most unique cards and interactions in this deck. But first, we're going to take a quick break and hear a message from our sponsors.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now, all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
All right, we are back with Obosh the Prey Piercer. Odd CMCs dealing double damage to permanents and players. Let's talk about some of the more interesting cards in here. This is a nice section called Don't Be Afraid to Get Even.
Yeah, I think the trap you could fall into when creating this deck is to sort of in your mind say, I'm only going to put odd CMC stuff in this deck.
Right.
And there are some even CMC things you're going to want in here, even though it feels bad because they're not going to get double their they're not going to double their damage through Obosh.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they're just still good enough and on plan with the deck that you do want some even CMC things. I'm not just counting mana rocks and things that do deal damage and are on plan with the deck. Yes, they're not going to be doubled, but they're still going to be good enough. The first one is Ankh of Mishra, which is a classic card from Alpha, I think.
Wow.
It's 2 mana for an artifact. Whenever a land enters the battlefield, Ankh of Mishra deals 2 damage to that land's controller.
Okay.
This is like Zozu the Punisher. Can't be doubled, but it comes out very early.
Mm-hmm.
And will just, you know, if you play this on turn 2, people are going to take 10 to 12 damage from this thing through the course of the game, or more if they're one of those green decks. Yeah.
Well, let's not forget, Obosh is a 5 CMC commander. Casting it once is already a bit tough. Casting it again for 7 mana, it's going to be harder. So you want to have a lot of backup, obviously. And plus, when you do finally get to the point where you can cast Obosh in one spell, you want people at a low enough life total that when you cast that spell, it can end the game.
Yeah, that's a good point.
This next one is like a definite must include, even though it's even CMC. Torbran, Thane of Redfell. A lot of people building decks around this guy too. It's 1 red, so it's 4 CMC for a 2/4 dwarf noble legendary creature. If a red source you control would deal damage to an opponent or a permanent an opponent controls, it deals that much damage plus 2 instead. So this actually has the potential, if a red source is only dealing 1 damage, to be more than what Obosh can do for it.
And also, it makes the source deal double the damage. So if you've got Tunneling Geopede out,
oh, right.
When you play a land, it would deal 3, which is now 6 from Obosh. Since it's not Torbran adding the damage.
Right, the source itself is dealing it.
Yeah, so the fact that Torbran is even CMC doesn't actually matter as much because it's just adding it to the thing. So
yeah,
Acidic Soil would just still add, it basically adds 4 damage to odd CMC things.
Right.
Yeah.
The only time you would care about Torbran is if he was attacking.
Right.
And then you wanted to do more than 2 damage because he's a 2/4. But in this case, he's an enchantment on a creature.
Yep, exactly. The next one is Mana Barbs, 3 red for an enchantment. So it's even CMC, but it says whenever a player taps a land for mana, Mana Barb steals 1 damage to that player. So this is just a way, again, to just bring life totals down. And this is going to do it fast, right? Because on turn 5, most people are tapping 5 lands for mana.
Yeah.
So that's 5 damage. Or what are they going to do? Like not play stuff?
Yeah, especially, I mean, imagine if you're a Seaborn Muse deck or a Wilderness Reclamation deck, you just are very sad in the face of Mana Barbs.
Think of this with Torbran, because Torbran still works with the even CMC stuff, right?
Yeah.
Oh, you tap a land, you take 3 damage.
That's like game over in a turn. Like if you have 10 lands, you'll take 30 if you tap out.
Yeah. That's a point where you might be able to play Mana Barbs and just be like, go. And you're like, do you have like a 2 CMC spell that can remove this? Otherwise, you probably just die, right? Because for the rest, people are looking at their hands, for the rest of the game, I can't do anything.
They're like, their Bane of Progress is just the worst card. Like,
I just die.
Why does this cost so much mana?
You don't even get to cast it because you tap the land for mana first, right? Yeah, pretty cool.
It's a steep price to pay. And also, like, if you're around the table, and I've played, like, it's been very often I've seen this where everyone's kind of burned down. No one wants to be the first person to make a move.
Yeah.
Like, just don't kill me first. Maybe we can get rid of them with someone else's resources.
Yeah, so it's just like draw go.
Yeah. Next up is Harsh Mentor, 1 red from Amonkhet, 2/2 human cleric. Probably built more for like the legacies of the world.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
Whenever an opponent activates the ability of an artifact creature or land on the battlefield, if it isn't a mana ability, Harsh Mentor deals 2 damage to that player. So your pinger deck is just
done-zo. And there's a lot of activated abilities out there. Mm-hmm. And think of like Kinnan, Urza, those types of things where they're going to activate Golos.
Yeah.
They're going to activate it a lot and try and go off. This could kill them.
Or lands too, right? Yep. Like a Strip Mine if you activate that ability. Yep. Or if
Rogue's Passaging.
Maze of Ith.
So this again, is a sort of hate-bearish card, which doesn't say you can't do it, just says it's going to tax you some life every time you do. Again, not doubled by Obosh, but I still think good enough.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's incidental damage that's going to add up over time.
The next card is one of the best cards in the deck, and this next section I'm calling Up the Ante. So this is a way to sort of up the amount of damage or do some crazy stuff.
I was like, oh man, I really hope Obosh is an ant.
Yeah, there's...
He's a Hellion horror, though.
So it's Repercussion. It's 1 red for an enchantment. Whenever a creature, is dealt damage, Repercussion deals that much damage to that creature's controller.
Ooh.
Again, doubled by Obosh.
Yeah.
So whenever a creature takes damage, if Obosh is out, that creature's controller would take twice the amount of damage that the creature took.
Yeah, so a lightning bolt turns into six damage on the creature, into 12 damage on the controller.
Yeah, so all of a sudden, a lightning bolt becomes like almost a lethal, like it's crazy.
Earthquake just is nuts in this case too.
Oh yeah, if they've got three creatures and you earthquake, you have to be careful not to kill yourself.
Yeah.
But, you know, potentially like an X equals 4 will just kill everyone at that point because it's 4 to 8 to 16 plus the original.
And each creature that gets dealt damage is going to double that on. 16 to,
yeah.
Okay, you're right. Repercussion is the best card in the deck.
Yeah, it's crazy. And then there's a few cards that sort of work really well with Repercussion are just good in the deck anyway. Blasphemous Act.
Yep.
Because it's 8 and a red. So it's 8 and a red for a sorcery, but this spell costs 1 less to cast for each creature on the battlefield. And then it deals 13 damage to each creature.
Yeah,
so
even without Obosh, 13 damage times 2 with Repercussion, that's GG.
Yeah, exactly. And if Obosh is out, all of a sudden it's times 4, basically. And yeah, again, you got to be careful not to kill yourself in those circumstances, but it's a 9 CMC card, going to double, again, double with Repercussion. Also, like Earthquake, like we said, this is a card that saves you when Obosh isn't out, just board wipes and, you know, how often is the only, like on game nights, I feel like it happens quite often where people are at a point in the game where like, I have to top deck a board wipe or I'm going to die.
Yeah.
Those are the only things that can save you in certain circumstances. So having cards like that in the deck that can also sometimes win you the game, most board wipes can't do that, right?
No, definitely not. And I was going to say red and black. Black obviously has access to a lot of good board wipes, but red is all usually damage based. But in this case, it doesn't actually matter. If anything, it's a benefit for the deck.
Right.
Next up is one that we mentioned quite a bit on the show, Chandra's Ignitions, 3 red for a sorcery. And this one will not kill you. Target creature you control deals damage equal to its power to each other creature and each opponent. So Chandra's Ignition is not the one doing the damage, so the CMC doesn't matter as much. It's the creature that's doing it. That's the source. But if you do it on Obosh, whammo, it's going to do a lot of damage to everyone.
And again, works with Repercussion because it's going to hit their creatures.
Each creature, yeah.
Jeez. So it works in the same way.
Token decks really do not do well against this.
Yeah.
Use Earthquake for one.
Yeah, with Repercussion.
Each of those
Repercussion is ridiculous. And then one more card which I wanted to talk about because it's one of my favorites and I try and use it when I can, but it's narrow in how it works. But you can have some massive blowouts that nobody sees coming with a card like this. It's called Arcbond. 2 and a red for an instant. Choose target creature. Whenever that creature is dealt damage this turn, it deals that much damage to each other creature and each player.
Jeez.
And it's choose target creature, so you don't have to do it to your own. Again, Obosh is out, so you will want to do it on your odd CMC thing if you can. Mm-hmm. But this just has a lot of uses. This is the type of card kind of like Deflecting Palm that can steal games out of nowhere because nobody ever sees this coming. And there's a lot of like interesting uses. When you have it in your hand, you're often like, oh gosh, I hope somebody attacks there because I'm going to do this and they'll never see it coming.
Well, I mean, imagine you also play a Blasphemous Act for like 3 mana and then Arcbond.
Yep. That's a way to win, or at least maybe draw. Repercussion again works with Arcbond because it hits each creature.
Yeah.
So if you only have one creature out, you could be in situations where you know they have to block because you've chunked their life down so much. You're like, I attack with Obosh, and they're like, well, I block.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, Arcbond, my Obosh, it's going to take 10 damage from your thing or whatever. That's going to be doubled 20 damage. Then with Repercussion out, maybe it kills, or maybe 20 just kills everybody. So,
you know, this deck reminds me a lot of your Stop Hitting Yourself deck that you had a long time ago.
It has a little aspects of that, and that might be better because the focused Stop Hitting Yourself deck was not good.
Yeah.
But there were parts of it that I think worked, and just taking those little packages and putting them in is good.
This card is in that deck, and it's definitely good in this one. It's Stuffy Doll. It's a 5-mana 0/1. Don't just hold on.
Don't hate.
Yeah. As Stuffy Doll enters the battlefield, choose a player. That's going to die. Stuffy Doll is indestructible. Whenever Stuffy Doll is dealt damage, it deals that much damage to the chosen player, and then you can tap it to ping itself for 1 damage.
And it's 5 CMC, so it pings itself for 2 with Obosh out, and then it deals 4
right,
to the
player.
Right, because
it's not CMC, yeah.
Yeah, so it's obviously you choose the player that is, you know, the most ahead or that you need to kill the fastest. And then also, like, they can't attack you or anything, or other players can. You can be like, hey, I'm going to play this. Just attack me.
I'll block with my Stuffy Doll.
I'll block with my Stuffy Doll.
Yeah, the other player really doesn't have much of a... usually you can politic your way out of situations, but that one's really hard to negotiate out of. It's like, wait, but no one loses anything. It's a 0/1.
Yep. And then it's like, you know, if they swing at you with a 6/6, it's going to do 12 to the player you chose. Like, it's an insane amount. And then you tap it.
Yeah.
You know, that's 16 damage. Like, it's a lot of damage.
And also, boy, if you have to path the Stuffy Doll, you are not a happy player.
If it's pointed at you, sometimes you do have to do it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Stuffy Doll comes down and just hoses one guy or girl or person.
This section is called just cool stuff. So this is other stuff in the deck that's got synergy with the rest of the deck, but not necessarily it's each other. In a deck that's just doing a lot of damage that's non-combat damage in chunks that's like not really blockable in any way, Pain Magnification is really, really good. So it's one, a black, and a red for an enchantment. Whenever an opponent is dealt three or more damage by a single source, that player discards a card.
There are some cards that will repeatedly do three or more damage. Yeah.
There are many in this deck. Like, if especially with Obosh out, because Obosh doubles the amount of damage things are doing, all of a sudden, it's not that hard to be like, hey, the whole table had to discard four cards that turn.
Yeah.
And it's only opponent.
Yeah, that's true. And it's whenever an opponent is, so it could be multiple instances of it in the same turn.
If Think of Zozu the Punisher is out with Obosh. You play a land, you have to discard a card.
You really can't do anything. This is red black stacks. I love it. Next up is a, what do we call these?
Aftermath cards.
Yeah. Insult to Injury. Two in a red for the sorcery side of Insult. Damage can't be prevented this turn. If a source you control would deal damage to a, if a source you control would deal damage this turn, it deals double that damage instead. So obviously.
So you get four times with Obosh if you obviously use it. And Insult, your next source is a odd CMC.
And then Injury, which is the two in a red sorcery side with Aftermath, so you can cast a spell only from your graveyard, then you exile it, is that Injury deals two damage to target creature and two damage to target player. So not as amazing on the other side, but the Insult part definitely stacks up fast.
And, of course, just the ability to play a spell that does something good and important and then also can be used out of your graveyard later, even if that side's not the best. But yeah, Insult is a finisher, right?
Yeah.
Insult, then Earthquake. Insult, then something else. Insult, Charger's Ignition. Those are ways to sort of take the game out of nowhere.
And it turns off their Circle of Protection red.
Yeah. Insult, then Acidic Soil. I mean, be careful. Again, in this deck, you have to be very careful you don't kill yourself.
But if you do, at least you did a lot on the way out.
It really is Jimmy deck, because maybe you don't care if you kill yourself.
Yeah. It's more about the memories, right?
Yeah. One of the things I always look for when I'm building a deck is...
How to make it a Jimmy deck.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Sorry, I spoke for you there. My bad. What do you look for?
One of the things I look for when I'm building a deck is, are there cool synergies within the deck that open up either card draw or mana ramp that I wouldn't have in my average deck? Because this is just a way to... Especially when you're in Rakdos or Boros or something else, you just can't use staple cards to get you to that 10 card draw or 10 mana ramp that we want a lot of the time, especially card draw.
Yeah.
And so having your strategy open up a category of cards that is card draw if you meet these criteria is really powerful, because now all of a sudden, yes, I can meet our rubric of like having enough card draw. And so there's three cards in this deck that I think are cool and open up card draw in Rakdos that maybe you wouldn't have access to in an average Rakdos deck. The first one is Theater of Horrors. It's one, a red, and a black, so three mana for an enchantment. It says, at the beginning of your upkeep, exile the top card of your library. Then during your turn, if an opponent has lost life this turn, you may play cards exiled with Theater of Horrors.
Hmm.
So it's impulsive draw a little bit, although if you deal damage to your opponent, you'll have access to all the cards you've exiled with Theater of Horrors, not just the one exiled this turn. So you can play it early and be like, I can't deal damage to opponents quite yet, but later when I do, I'll get access to all the cards. Plus, Theater of Horrors has an activated ability of three in a red. Theater of Horrors deals one damage to target opponent or planeswalker. Again, would be two damage with Obosh out. That's a lot of mana for one damage. You're only going to do that if you really want one of the cards.
Yeah, you have to ping them to trigger the second part of Theater of Horrors.
But you've got Spear Spewers and Lightning Rig Crews.
Oh, you're doing damage to people.
Yeah, exactly. It's not that hard for you to deal damage. So most of the time, this is just going to naturally be on by what you're already doing. It's just going to give you access to an additional card per turn.
Yeah, I love the fact that you can play all of them. Usually, impulsive draws until end of turn, then that card gets exiled forever.
Right.
All right, Risk Factor, two in a red for an instant. Target opponent may have Risk Factor, deal four damage to them, reads eight. If that player doesn't, you draw three cards. And then you can jumpstart this, which means you can discard a card as well as replaying this from your graveyard, and then you exile the Risk Factor. So this is like red card draw. Hey, are you going to take four damage? If Obosh is out, that damage is eight, or are you going to let me draw three cards?
Eight damage. In this deck where you're taking, you know,
in this economy,
three damage just for playing a land.
Yeah.
You know, people are just going to be at low life totals. Risk Factor is an instant.
How high? Okay, eight damage. If you're at 20 life, do you take the eight?
I don't think you do, right?
Not against this deck.
Unless you have a plan. You can't go down to 12 because you're going to die to this deck.
Yeah, not only that, you can't just board wipe and get rid of Obosh, because when you play a land, you're going to get punished for it. When you tap a land, an enchantment's going to hurt you, right? You have to like find really all-in ways to completely wipe the board. And so, how like 30 life would you take 8?
You'd think about it. I think at that point, it would depend on relative board positions. How much? Because, yeah, if Mana Barbs is out in something else, maybe you can't even at 30. So it's definitely like you have to think about it. 4 is like, I just pay the 4 life.
Yeah. 8 is, that's a quarter of your life total, almost.
And if other things are out, like Torbran's out, all of a sudden it's just getting nuts and you really can't play it at all. But this is a card also that you don't need to play early.
Mm-hmm.
So you just hold it until you're out of gas. And when you're out of gas, naturally, and it's target player. So you just got to pick the player that's at the lowest life total, because it's not only the Obosh deck trying to deal damage. If somebody else has chipped in 6-8 damage towards that player, all of a sudden on turn 8, I don't think it'll be hard to find a player that's 20 or below.
Yeah, also, I think players, by the way, it's a fifth of your life total. I don't know why I said a quarter.
Oh, yeah.
It's very easy math. I don't think players, if they don't know what is coming, we're saying early aggression, everyone's on turn 2 swinging at people. Haha, I took you down to 35. And they don't realize that 5 life might be the biggest difference. And then you just have better choices for risk factor later on, too. And you can do it twice.
And I always like to only include these cards where your opponents get a choice if you're kind of fine with either choice they take. And I think you are fine with a card that says 3 mana, deal 8 damage to an opponent. Like, it's not the best card in your deck, but you're fine with that.
Well, it's also repeatable. So.
Yeah, it's pretty efficient. Yeah, and then you go, okay, fine, discard a card, do it again. And it's an instant, like we said, you can pay 8 more?
No. 8 more and just be dead to someone breathing on me? Nope. I've been there too often.
All right, the next one is along the lines of Theater of Horrors and of Risk Factor. It's called Sin Prodder. It's 2 and a red for a 3/2 devil with Menace. But it says, at the beginning of your upkeep, reveal the top card of your library. Any opponent may have you put that card into your graveyard.
Hmm.
If a player does, Sin Prodder deals damage to that player equal to the card's converted mana cost.
Oops.
Otherwise, you put that card into your hand. So it's a reverse Bob, a reverse Dark Confidence.
Where it hurts the opponents for binning it or putting it into your hand, yeah.
Right, so you flip over the top card. Let's say it's 3 CMC. Jimmy, do you want to take 3 or do I put it into my hand? But if Obosh is out, Sin Prodder is odd.
Take
Jimmy, do you
6?
Want to take 6 or do I draw the card? I don't think a card in your opponent's hand is worth 6 damage to you.
Yeah. I mean, if it's hard, let's say the Tugu, that's 10 because it's 5 CMCs. But yeah, there's a lot. This ramps up really quickly.
Now, lands are the thing that are zeros and are going to double to 0. So that's not going to be as bad. But, just this is probably 60% of a card per turn.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's also got Menace, so it can also swing in for damage a lot of times.
Hit him for 6?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not nothing.
All right, finally, let's move on to the last category here. Finishing power, power, power. Cards that basically just end the game and help you get across that last little hurdle.
Yeah, they just have single cards that can pack a pretty big punch.
Yeah.
And hit and do it now.
Lightning Skelemental, black, red, red for a 6/1 elemental skeleton with trample and haste. Whenever it deals combat damage to a player, that player discards 2 cards, so that's already brutal. And at the beginning of the end step, sacrifice Lightning Skelemental. So you just get a 6 bomb in there. Sometimes,
and it's 12 with Obosh.
Yeah.
So this is a just like, okay.
And trampling, that's huge.
Yeah, exactly. This is an out-of-nowhere haste trampler comes in. If repercussion is out, they're probably just dead because they won't be able to block either, but you just go boom, you didn't see this coming, hit you for 12. And it's a card that's not the worst to play on turn 6 or 7, as just like, hey, you discard 2 cards, take 12 damage.
Take 12, yeah.
And
that's
now
huge.
Now it turns on my risk factors, it turns on my other cards that need a player to be at low life.
Yeah.
Turns on my Sin Prodders and things like that. And the last one is Electro Dominance. So this is red, red, and X for an instant. Electro Dominance deals X damage to any target, and then you may cast a red card with converted mana cost X or less from your hand without paying its mana cost. So again, X spells, as long as you, in this case, Electro Dominance, you want X to be an odd number, then it's going to double with Obosh, and
it's X or less too, so you can overpay just to get that CMC.
So maybe you
CMC.
Go Electro Dominance, Jimmy for 5, which is actually 10 because of Obosh, then I can play a 5 CMC spell from my hand, say it's a 6 oil or something. Boom, for free, deal.
Instant speed 2, end step right before you start. Or let's say someone's about to have their explosive turn and you play the one that's can't tap lands anymore.
And instant speed is so powerful because this allows you to kind of get 2 turns. So they think they're safe. I'm at 24. That feels pretty safe, right? And then you go, boom, Electro Dominance hits you for 14.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're at 10. Play another spell, 5 CMC or less. Let's say it's Heartless Hitetsugu. Got that out there in instant speed. Now I untap. Boom, kill you.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. That is a way to sort of be very explosive. And that's where risk factor, again, becomes better because of instant speed, right? Hey, you're going to take the eight? And it's almost like, yeah, if you do, I'll kill you on your because you're on at, my next
yeah, card.
Because
yeah,
my end step, and I'm going to untap and do something else.
Or you draw three cards, which is exactly what this kind of deck needs to do.
Yeah.
This is a really interesting deck to play against because you have to ask the question, do you just focus fire them down? Because if you do, they're going to focus fire you down.
Right.
Right? So it's like, you're how much, like, the resources you need to beat this kind of deck are creature removal, enchantment removal, artifact removal, right? You need all the removal and you need a lot of it because it's attacking you with the same strategy from a bunch of different ways. So it's interesting. Either you go, I can beat this strategy overall, or you have to go, hey, everyone, we have to team up on them, but at the price of our cards and our life, because they're not going to go down without a fight.
Yeah, and hopefully it does punish the Dirtly decks enough that it makes it tough for them to do what they normally are trying to do without, like, getting dangerously low to the point where you could finish them off.
Well, let's say, like, an ideal curve, by the time you get Obosh out, everyone's probably taken 6-7 damage, right, from your type of deck, and they're already, maybe they've fetched a couple times, everyone's around the 30-ish area. That is pretty doable to just put a lock on the game and say, like, all right, I'm going to control the terms now.
Yeah, now, like, you're going to have to really choose what you want to do, and you're going to have limited amount of stuff that you can do in the game now before you die.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that is the Obosh burn deck, burn in quotes. I know it's not a traditional burn deck, but...
just damage everywhere.
Yeah. To the listeners, what do you think about Obosh as a commander? Are there any cards you think we're either wrong about or that we missed that you would think are auto-includes in the deck or would be really good in a deck like this?
And make sure you check the deck list out too, so you don't repeat stuff there.
The full deck list will be in the show notes. Again, my deck is not... I wasn't trying to do budget, although naturally this deck is a little bit cheaper maybe than some of the decks we talk about on the show. Just
yeah, totally.
A lot of these cards are not... Spear Spewer, you just don't see that in a lot of decks.
Yeah, even Earthquake, you don't see in too many decks these days.
All right, if you want to pick up Obosh or any of the cards we just talked about, or any of the cards from the Commander product from this year, or any of the cards from Ikoria, Lair of Behemoth, or M21
going.
Is actually right around the corner because of the delay, because of the pandemic.
Right.
We're going to be seeing, I think, preview cards for M21 in the next few weeks, I think. So there's a lot of cards that you want to get your hands on. cardkingdom.com/command zone. If you order from that affiliate link, you are supporting this podcast, Game Nights, all of our content. In addition, Card Kingdom is just the best place to order from. They get you the stuff the fastest, guaranteed. We have people constantly tweeting at us, emailing us, making comments on the videos. That's just like, I got the cards in an insanely fast amount of time. Like, some people are getting the, hey, your order shipped announcement hours after they have made the order. Maybe
I once got mine like 10 minutes after. Like,
yeah.
The person got it and went, yeah, put it together and put it in the mail, just like that.
We've had people in other countries be like, this is crazy. I'm from Australia. I got my cards in like, you know, a matter of days instead of weeks. It's
nuts. I'm so used to having it be weeks because I'm in Australia. Yeah.
Yeah. So Card Kingdom really is the best place to get a hold of all your cards. They're very generous with their grading. Their cards always look great. They have great customer service. If anything happens to go wrong, they will solve it. They'll go above and beyond to solve your problem. Can't speak highly enough about that.
And they have a great buyback as well if you're looking to switch in cards and get in-store credit. Pretty handy.
Yeah, their buy list is renowned throughout the Magic world and sort of the gold standard by which everybody judges. If you listen to finance podcasts and stuff, they always talk about the Card Kingdom buy list.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so great way to get cards as well.
And a great way to protect your cards and a great way to make your cards look even better now that you've gotten them is through Ultra Pro product. Again, there are more and more sets coming out. There are more and more pieces of art. If you didn't like the playmats from Ikoria, maybe Lair of Behemoth wasn't your thing. There's going to be something else in the world of Magic, and Ultra Pro is always on the forefront of making those playmats, those sleeves, those deck boxes, as well as the really cool dice, right? They cover every single thing you need outside of the cards themselves to play in a way that makes you comfortable and makes sure that you're also keeping your area tidy and clean. I think that's going to be something that's really important, to be honest, coming up from Magic Fest and stuff, is to make sure that when you sit down, you go, this is my play area, this is how I'm going to establish it, this is so I know what's being touched and all that stuff. And that's going to be actually really important for Magic players. So Ultra Pro, again, these are all machine washable play mats, super super sturdy, super handy. I can't recommend them enough.
I'm definitely going to put my Obosh deck into a Rakdos sleeves that Ultra Pro.
Oh, you better
makes. Yeah. All right, we're back to our normal schedule. We're one podcast a week. That means we can do the end step.
Hooray!
Where we talk about something cool outside the world of Magic. Now, Jimmy, I watched this show because you recommended it.
I did. I was about 5 or 6 episodes in, and I was like, you know what? I think Josh would definitely like this show. I think, and Elle would too, I think, if you guys watched it together.
So it is Lock and Key, which is on Netflix. It is, how would you describe it?
So it's based off of a graphic novel.
Series,
yeah, right? It's Damon Lindelof, who is one of the Lost guys. I think it's Damon Lindelof, or it's the other one. It's one of the Lost guys. The other one did Watchmen. Either way, these guys...
No, Lindelof did Watchmen.
Okay, then it's the other one. So they're really good at creating like mystery type, in a way, sort of the J.J. Abrams mystery box type thing. But they've gotten much better since Lost, knowing how to complete things and make them into really full-fledged shows. And so
make them satisfying at the end.
Yeah, Lock and Key is about a family that suffers a tragedy and moves across the country to their old, their dad's old childhood home. And they begin discovering mystical keys that unlock all sorts of crazy things into other dimensions and worlds and sort of give extra powers and stuff. And
yeah, it's a little bit Harry Potter and this discovery of magic type thing with these kids that range in age from like, you know, elementary school all the way up to high school. And they start, unlocking all these secrets. See what I did there? So it's sort of a fantasy magic, but it has this suspense aspect to it in that, of course, there's a dark force out there that also wants to get a hold of these magical keys and use them for nefarious, you know, ends. And so they start to discover this world, but they also start to discover the danger of it.
Yeah, and I like that a lot about the show, which is like when you have kids in a show, it's easy. You can like, because at some points in Stranger Things, I was like, no one's dying here. Everyone's safe, right? But this show is shot really well. It's really well paced, and they really put a lot of time and care into the cinematography.
Some people die in it. Some people definitely die. You have to be worried about it.
Yeah, I think they strike a really good balance between like, this is a fun show that if you love the novels, you'll love, but if you also love like the sort of like the kids' adventurous things you'll love too, but it's got real tension in there.
Yeah, really enjoyed it. And right now, a lot of us are staying home a lot, obviously, and having shows to watch. Like after Tiger King, you're like, okay, what else?
Lock
and Key. What else? You know, so it's nice to have like a good thing that you can binge.
You know, not to mention the it's great to watch this show because Kyle Hill plays the dad. Hopefully, if you're watching the video podcast, you'll see a picture side by side and know what I'm talking about here.
That's pretty funny. I never made that connection.
The first thing I saw when I saw it, I was like, that looks just like Kyle.
I thought it looked like Keanu the first time I saw it, kind of out of the corner of my eye.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah.
It's got Keanu vibes with Kyle hair.
Yeah.
There you go.
All right, Lock and Key. It's available on Netflix. We do recommend it. It is a fun show and a good way to pass the time.
Easy to binge, too.
Yeah. All right. Big thanks to our editing, graphics, and logistics team, which is Craig Blanchett, Ashlyn Rose, Lady Danger, Manson Lung, Alfred Estaca, Josh Murphy, Jake Boss, and Sam Waldo. Everybody here working so hard. If you didn't watch it, Game Nights just came out last week. We've got all kinds of content that came out recently. I know a lot of people were like, I haven't even caught up on all the stuff because we had so much come out. That team has really been working their butts off to make sure that everything is out there. Our content keeps flowing.
Yeah, binge that in between episodes of Lock and Key.
There you go.
Might need to take a breath. Some of those episodes are pretty suspenseful. And a big thanks, as always, to Jeffrey Palmer, who provides the living card animations that live behind us here on set and on Game Nights, as well as star and end our show at youtube.com/TheCommandZonePodcast. Where are we today?
This is Evolving Wilds, I think, from Akoria.
Oh, they are evolving quite fast here.
Evolving or just... It just looks like the Big Island in Hawaii.
This is Hawaii, the card. They did it. You can find Jeffrey on Twitter at LivingCardsMTG.
All right, everybody. Thanks for watching.
And we'll see you next time.
Peace.
For further inquiries, send an email to commandcast@rocketjump.com or ask us on Twitter @JFWong and @JoshLeeKwai. See you later, alligator.
Greetings, humans.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now, all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.